Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Remain standing. We'll go to the Word. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Amen. Are we ready for the word this morning? Amen. Last week, y'all saw me. I looked like Popeye. My arm, my forearm. It actually had an infection. I had to go to the doctor that night, and they gave me a bunch of antibiotics and all that stuff. So praise God that it didn't get worse. But I'm all better now. Those wasps, man. Let's pray in Jesus' name that He just kills them. They just go back to the pits of, anyways, all right. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. We have it? Amen. It says, "For it being the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' The master says the same thing to the second servant." Let's go down to verse 24. "He also who had received the 1 talent came saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, my God, for this word that you've spoken over your servant. Father God, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would just be on my lips this morning. And I pray against any distractions right now, Father God, that would come into our minds. Lord, I pray, Father God, for any grumbling bellies, Father, in Jesus' name, just give us about 40 minutes, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that this word would impact and penetrate the depths of our souls and our hearts and also our minds, Father God, to receive with fullness what you have for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Amen. I imagine, for many of us who have been believers for any amount of time, we've probably asked God at some point for more. Anybody have asked God for more before? Whether that be more money or more patience, more reach, more faith, more anointing. Sometimes we really believe that we're ready for more, and so we ask God for more. And today, earlier this week, during the day, I was standing outside when I was here during the day. I was standing outside at the foyer, and I do this often. I stand outside and I just look out the window, just like this. I'm just there. Take a break from whatever I'm doing on my laptop, and I'm just looking out the window. And I realized that my dad used to do that all the time as well, and now I'm doing it. He would just be there standing. I'm like, "What are you looking at?" And he's like, looking at like Mufasa, looking at his kingdom or something. And now I'm doing it. And when I'm doing it, and I don't know if that's what he was doing, but when I'm doing it, I'm dreaming. I'm envisioning. That sounds more spiritual. We'll say envisioning. I'm envisioning what God has spoken over this church, but the things that we're not yet living. The things, I'll envision things that are on my heart, whether God put them there or not. But very frequently, I find myself asking God for more. And that was me the other day. I was out there standing, and I was asking God for more. Lord, when will the more that you promised come for this church? When will we have a brand new fellowship hall building? God, you know we need it. Lord, you see it every single day. When will we have that? When will we have the parking garage? When will we have all of the properties so that we can have more room, because we need more room for the things that you're doing? We've all asked God for more, and it doesn't mean that you're not grateful for what you have, but you think that you can handle more. And it can be frustrating, always feeling passed up by God, man. Like when you see other people getting the things that you also feel like you should be getting. Like, I'm happy for you, but where's my portion? When you've been trusting in God for a word that he spoke to be fulfilled. And just when we think it's coming, it doesn't come. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody this morning, but I've been in seasons where in my mind, I just knew that I was ready, but more didn't come. And there's a word, church, that has been spoken over me in this season of my life. You know, sometimes some people just have like a word for a season that they're in, right? To represent whatever they're going through. God has spoken one word over my life individually, for my personal life, as well as for the church. And it's been a word that I heard very faintly on beginning of last year. So almost 2 years. And that word is stewardship. Stewardship. And I'm going to preach to you a word that's been preaching to me and my wife during this season that we're in. I've entitled the message this morning, Good and Faithful. Good and Faithful. Two words I think every Christian longs to hear one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is a well-known parable that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God. And so for those who don't know, the master represents Jesus. Jesus ascended to heaven, but he's going to return for his church. That's the journey that this parable speaks about. The servants represent his disciples, you and me, his church. The talents represent the resources that Jesus left to his disciples as we await his return. It's estimated that the first man who received 5 talents received an equivalent of 100 years worth of wages. The other man received 40 years worth of wages, and the third servant earned about 20 years worth of wages. So we're not talking about talents as like, you know, special gifts and abilities, though we can include that in there. But more specific to this parable, we're talking about resources that God has graced each and every one of us with in this life. And I think this message can be preached to a variety of different groups. I think that we can preach it to churches. We can preach it to church leaders. I think about this often as the shepherd of this church, of a church that God has entrusted me with during this short passing of time in the scope of eternity. He is very much concerned with how I steward what he's given me authority over. It's very scary to even think about it, man. Sometimes I think about it and it keeps me in check. Like, it makes me ask questions like, are we as a church reaching the lost? Are we discipling? Are we being the hands and feet of Jesus? Are we giving to missions? Are we managing our finances well? Those are things that keep me as the lead pastor of this church awake at night. And if you're a ministry leader, you might not be the lead pastor. You might not be the ministry leader, but you've been given authority over something. Over people, over resources. We got to get out of the mindset of, well, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the leader, but you still got authority over something. It's not our job to say, well, you gave the other guy 5 talents and I only got 2, and you gave him 2 and I only have 1. Like, no, you have what you have. Do something with the little that's been given to you, and then more will be added to you. We all have something. Somebody say all. We all have something in our hands to steward. And so if you're a minister, if you're a leader, if you're an administrator, if you're a worship leader, if you're a singer, if you're a musician, if you do something in the back with the cameras, if you're in the office, if you're an usher, whatever it is, Don't ever treat it as something that that pastor assigned to you or that another leader gave to you. Treat it as something that God allowed you to have authority over. Because when you do that, maybe you'll show up on time. Maybe you'll go to the practices. Maybe you'll attend the meetings. And maybe you'll even take some notes during the meetings because you always forget what's going on in the meeting like I do. Maybe you'll show up prepared and studied and not just show up like just winging it. When you know that it's Jesus who granted the authority to you. Do something with what's been given to you. This message can also be preached on a personal level, aside from ministry. We're going to get personal today, okay? So I hope you got your work boots on because we're going to be stepping on some toes. Aside from ministry, what has been given to you personally? This word stewardship really started, it started to creep up on me early last year. I'm gonna be uncomfortably vulnerable and transparent, okay, with you. This is not anything that I ever thought I was gonna share, you know, publicly to the church. Actually, I kind of did think that one day God was gonna say, here, you're gonna preach on that lesson that you learned. But it's not something that I ever thought. Like, I was not happy to do it. But I'm gonna share something with you. Last year, we had a business start to fail. And it was me and a partner. And by the way, I called my partner on Friday. And I was like, hey, man, I'm going to share some things that might throw you under the bus a little bit. Are you cool with that? Wanted to get his permission. And he was like, he said yes. And, because some of y'all know who he is, but we owned some real estate, a lot of, you know, some multifamily properties, and we were doing pretty well for the first few years until we weren't, and we got to a point where we were growing a little too fast, we were buying too much, we had too many projects that were unfinished, and we were over leveraged, and we were overwhelmed, and we had a lot of unfinished projects that were taking like all of our money. And at the same time, the money that we did have, you know, that were coming in from like rental properties, tenants were messing them up, and we had to evict some tenants. And then by the time we got back into the units, they were all torn up, and we didn't have the money to fix it, and so we couldn't re-rent them again. And it was like a perfect storm of everything. And then the rates were astronomical. We were trying to sell these properties. We couldn't do it. So we had to give some properties back to the bank. And one day we showed up because we finally finished this property that we were working on for like a year and a half. It was finally finished. We just for us to show up and the locks are changed because the bank took it back. And so during this whole time, by the way, this whole 6 years that we were in business, it never affected our personal finances. We've had our other jobs and you know, other vocations, and praise be to God for that. And so the business paid the business expenses, the business debt, and we kept our money separate. Last year, we had to close that business. We signed over the last remaining properties to another company, and we were left with nothing but the debt of that business split two ways. And so now there's no business to pay the business debt. And so now I'm feeling it affect my house. Now it's come knocking on my door. And can I tell you, man, that I felt like a failure? Man of God, y'all probably know what I mean. I stayed awake praying every night. My wife snoring, you know, like in the peace of the Lord. But I'm there and I'm like, God, do something, God. Because I felt like a failure. I felt like I failed my kids. I felt like I failed my wife because she entrusted me with, you know, with the resources and to make these really risky moves. And I felt like I failed myself. More importantly, I felt like I failed God. And can I also tell you that during this entire process, when the banks were calling and they were calling the mortgage notes due and when lenders were saying, hey, man, you're out of time. You got to do something. I was out here, man, I was asking God to do a miracle. I said, God, get me out of this.
Get me out. Give me more opportunities. Give me more open doors. Get me right in front of the right people. Give me more blessings. Give me more provision. Give me more wisdom. And I distinctively and convictedly heard the voice of God said, Ryan, you will never have more until you can be trusted with what's in your hand. How many times are we saying, God, get me out of the mess that I put myself in? Why am I going to get you out and do something for you to give you more when you haven't proved yourself yet with the little? What if you've been asking God for more and he's waiting on you to give him more? I need more wisdom from you before I can bless you with more. I need more discernment from you before I can give you more. I need to see more faith from you before you can handle more. Come on, man. We're always asking God for more because we think too little of what we have, but how many of us are actually making the best of the little that we have? Now, I'm the calmest person I know, okay? I live in the peace of God, but I was freaking out during all of this. I was scared. And I finally sit down with my wife, and I'm so grateful for my wife, man, because she's exactly what I need her to be when I need it. You know, she's usually the drama queen, but she knew that I didn't need any more drama in my life. So she was like, all right, I'm gonna put the crown aside real quick, and I'm going to be the voice of peace and reason. I'm usually the optimistic one and, you know, the one that's saying everything's going to be cool. And she's usually, she doesn't say negative. She says realist. But this time she was the hopeful one, the optimist. And so we sit down together and she says, this is her idea. She says, okay, we're going to write out all of our debts. Everything. Now, this is something that we had been planning on doing for months, but in all honesty, I was too afraid to do it. I was too afraid to see the number. I didn't want to look at Goliath in his eyes. So I would just say, I'll catch you tomorrow, G, 3:30 at the parking lot, and I never show up. I'm a coward, man. And, you know, up until this point, I was running on faith. I didn't know what else to run on. I had to run on faith. I think Melissa even asked me at one point, she said, do you have a plan, you know, for all of this? And I said, oh, shoot, girl, I'm just waiting on God. Hey, but that's real. That's real. So many of us don't have a plan because we're too afraid to confront it. So we say, I'm just, God's going to do it. See, and the whole time, I know it's funny, but I'm serious. Like, I thought I was being a man of faith. And in many ways I was, but I was also being a man of foolishness. Especially when it came to this, because avoiding the problem isn't faith, that's fear. And faith without action is laziness, slothful. And I couldn't act in wisdom because I kept avoiding the problem. I couldn't create a plan. Listen, church, being a good steward of something takes more than just faith. It takes wisdom. It takes discernment. It takes us doing what we need to do and then walking in faith, and God will meet us where we cannot be met or where we cannot meet our own needs. So we sit down. And for literally hours, I mean, we took the entire day. We were there writing out every single number of every debt that we owed, business, personal, every payment. We put our house in there. And I was getting fired up. I was like, babe, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. I said, by 40, I want to be debt free. I don't want to have a house payment. I have no payments by 40 in the name of Jesus. And then we see the final number. I'm like, 45 in the name of Jesus. That's the truth, man. And here's the thing, because we convince ourselves, or I convinced myself, that I was always a good steward, because we've always been givers, we've always been tithers, but God revealed to me that I have not always been a good steward. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but just because you give God 10% doesn't give you a right to mess up the remaining 90%. And can I just testify that as soon as we began to be better stewards of our finances, God has given us more. Like I can actually testify to that. I can see it. He's given us more opportunities, more blessings, more savings. And glory to God, because that tells me that he's pleased, because we're taking something that he's given us, that he's allowed us to have, and we're intentionally trying our best to honor him with all of it. Not just 10%, all of it, because he gave me all of it. What have you not been the best steward of? Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's your giftings, your callings. Good and faithful servants, they don't have excuses. That's what we see from this text. The first two servants, they get to the master, and what do they have? Results. The last one, what did he have? An excuse. How many of us are walking around, we're just giving God excuses? God, it's because I don't really have time. I work 50 hours a week and I come home and my kids are nagging, and then I got to do dinner, and then I got to do bedtime, and then I got to go to sleep, and then I got to wake up early, and then I got to do all the bathing and getting ready, and I got to do the breakfast, and then out to school, and then out to work, and I got no time. If all you have is an hour in your day, give God that hour. If that's all, if that's literally all you have, because you're out here being a man who provides for your family, you're out here being a wife who works really hard to manage the household, and all you have is an hour, give God that hour. Don't wait till you have the day off. Don't wait till you get a morning to yourself. Give God the little that you have and watch him give you more. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, God, well, it's because I don't know enough Bible. I don't know enough about your word to serve in the church. I don't have the leadership skills. I don't speak as well as that person. Just you don't need to do what somebody else is doing. All you need to do is work with the possessions that God gave you. No matter how large, no matter how small, if the master gave it to you, it's because he wants you to do something to produce the more that you've been asking for. David had a shepherd's staff before he had a crown. Joseph had a prison cell before he had a palace. When you are faithful in the little, somebody say little. Little. When you are faithful in the little, God will give you more. Amen. Consider David real quick. Saul had more than David. Saul had a throne, he had power, he had influence, he had riches. David had a flock and he had faithfulness. That's it. And then even when David received the word that one day there would be more, he remained faithful with the less. Saul, on the other hand, he was given more initially, but because he did nothing with it but complain and whine and be jealous, God took away what he had and he gave it to David. Some of you are waiting to be good stewards until you have more. I'll tithe when I get my raise. I'll give when I hit the lottery. I'll start serving at church when my work schedule is better. How many times do we miss out on the opportunities for having more simply because we haven't done well with the little? Let me tell you another story real quick. I got a lot of stories today. And pay attention to this, because the Holy Spirit really, he screamed this to me. He did this while I was preparing this word. Like, the Lord gave me another lesson in stewardship. I'm telling you, God is really loud in this season of my life with this word. So Wednesday, when I got to church, I noticed there were some coins at the front of the church. Pastor Renee even pointed it out to me. They're literally pennies. They're like probably like 46 cents, if I'm guessing. And, you know, I see it, but, you know, it's hot outside. So I don't want to bend down and, you know, pick them up. So I tell myself, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Well, Thursday comes, and I get here to church, and I see them again. I'll get them tomorrow. Friday comes, I open the door, and I tell myself, okay, I'm going to get them before Sunday. They will not be there Sunday. And so I'm seeing them, but there's no urgency for me to pick them up. And I'm glad it happened this way, because if I had picked them up on Wednesday or Thursday or even Friday, I would not have learned this lesson that the Holy Spirit just screamed to me. I was writing this sermon. I was literally on the subject of stewardship. And I see this man that many of you have been acquainted with. His name is Chris. I have multiple interactions with Chris
every single week. He comes, he knocks on the door, he asks for water, books to read, a shirt. I give him hand sanitizer. My Uncle David gave me a ton of hand sanitizers during COVID, but like after everybody was over COVID, so I just had them there. And so he takes a brand new hand sanitizer bottle every week. And you know what? This man is homeless, but he has never asked for money. Never. In fact, one time he brought an offering to my desk, 6 cents, just left it there. And so Friday, I see Chris and he knocks on the door and I see him bend down and he leaves something on the door. And then he starts to walk away. Now sometimes Chris is kind of aggressive and he's not always in the right mind. I never know what I'm going to get with Chris, but I go outside and he's walking away and I yell at him. I say, "Hey, Chris, what's up?" And he ignores me. He's never done that before. He's shaking his head at me. And again, I said, "Chris, what's going on, man?" And he walks away like this. Now, I look over to the doorstep, and he had taken some of those coins. Now, I have no idea if it was him who originally left them there, but I was still convicted. The Holy Spirit said, "Ryan, you knew that that was a love offering, and you did nothing with it." He said, "If that was a $100 bill, you sure would have picked it up and put it in the offering bucket and praise God. But because there were pennies, you trampled on it. You stepped on it. Not once, not twice, 3 times. You did nothing because you saw what was there as insignificant and too small." Boy, I picked it up real quick. It was like 23 cents remaining. I put it in the offering bucket, put it in George's office. But I thank God that he continues to teach me lessons of stewardship. And he does so because he cares. Jesus wants you to get to heaven so that he can say those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to unpack. Are you still with me? Give me a few more minutes. I want to unpack that word real quick, faithful. Faithful. In the Greek and the Hebrew, it's been a minute since we've done Greek and Hebrew. Hebrew, the word faithful in Greek, in the Hebrew, is aman. Aman means to be firm or trustworthy or safe. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful one who keeps promises and steadfast love with those who love him." So there is firmness, there is trustworthiness and safety in the very word of God. If God promised it, it's going to happen. Amen. He doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't have unforeseen circumstances that he's got to account for. His level of faithfulness is unmatched to that of our own. But what does this Hebrew word for faithfulness mean for us? It means that when we are in a bind, when we are in a lack, when we are in trouble, our faith and our love and our devotion will still be towards the Lord. That no matter what comes our way, we are going to stand firm on the love that we have for God. It means that when we say, "God, I love you," he believes it to be true because of what he's allowed us to go through. That even though we've gone through a mess in our lives, we can still go through more. See, sometimes more isn't always going to feel good. Sometimes it's more pain. Sometimes it's more struggle. Sometimes it's more sickness. But because you've been faithful, God knows you can handle more, whether it be the more that you want or the more that you don't want. But at the end of the day, you'll finish your race and God is going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because you were steadfast in the promised land and you were steadfast in the wilderness. Now, the Greek word for faithfulness is pistos, which comes from the same Greek word for faith, pistis. And so pistos means to be worthy of belief or trust. It's very similar to faith. So when God entrusts something to us, whether it be income, whether it be children, whether it be a marriage, whether it be a business, whether it be ministry, whether it be a job, we all have a responsibility to be trustworthy with what he's given. What does it mean to be faithful in a marriage? It's not just not cheating. It's being there for that person through sickness, health, joy, sorrow, richer, poor, more, less. If my wife is with me through the blessings, but she leaves me in the struggle, which I know now she's a real one, she's not faithful if she leaves me
only in the good, in the bad times, and only stays with me in the good times. If I leave my wife because we're having a season where we're just always having disagreements and we can't seem to get along and it's just one fight after another, and I leave her, I'm not faithful because I'm telling her that I can't stick it out when times get tough. And it's not just unfaithful to her, it's unfaithful to God because he is the one who entrusted me and gave me the blessing of the gift of marriage. Worship team, I'd ask that you come up. I know I didn't do a lot of exposition of the text like I usually like to do, but I need you to understand the power of this lesson. Specifically, this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. Specific to this text, what we're called to steward is the gospel. With whatever resources we've been given, at the end of our life, the master is going to ask every single one of us, there's nobody exempt in this room, what did you do? What did you do with the resources that I gave you? Whether that be the money, whether that be gifts, whether that be callings, whether that be the gospel. What did you do with what I gave you? Verse 24, one more time. He who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you gathered, scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. I think about this man. Just give me 3 more minutes, 5 more minutes, maybe 10. I think about this man. And I was, you know, I had never thought about it before. I just thought about it as I was preparing for the sermon. I kind of have some sympathy for him. Like, I kind of get where he's coming from. Like, if I were in his shoes or his sandals, I would probably make the same argument. The dude only had one talent to lose. The guy with 5 talents, he could probably be a little bit more aggressive with his investment strategy. If he loses one, well, he could afford to lose the one and still probably make it back later. All I have is one. It's too small. It's not enough to do any real damage with, and it's also too much to lose, so I'm better off doing nothing. How many of us go through life too afraid to use the little that God has given you? Please let me have your attention here, because there's people here with so much that you're calling so little. And you have not stewarded well what God has given you because you see it as insignificant. So you don't start because you don't have the time. You don't start because you don't have the money. You don't start because you don't have the platform. And so instead, you withhold that idea. You withhold that word that you really want to give so badly to your family, but you don't know what it's going to do to the relationship. You withhold the offering that you want to use to bless somebody with, but you say, man, it's too small. We think it's too insignificant. And so we're afraid that if I use it, I'm afraid. I'll tell you, I remember the first sermon that I preached, man. It was 5 minutes long. And I remember being afraid because I don't have much. It's not a very good word. I've heard better. Do I really want to get up there and embarrass myself? Do I really want to put myself out there? Do I really want to say yes to God and have people see me? What if this is the only chance I get and I make a mistake? I'm telling you what, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall. You're going to learn lessons. But that's how you grow. But don't count what God has put inside of you as too small. Because all God needs is a mustard seed side of faith to turn into something beautiful, something powerful. That first time I preached, nobody got saved. It was quiet. Nobody laughed at my jokes. I don't even think anybody clapped afterwards. I was like, okay.
youth pastor had to work overtime. But it's not a, it's not about the size of what you have. It's about, are you managing it well? Are you giving it to God? The master said, you could have at least put it in the bank to earn some interest. I would have been happy with that. I gave you a little, then it makes sense that I can get a little in return. Church, Jesus wants to find you in a better place tomorrow than where he's finding you today. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit, to bring fruit, to bring holiness, to bring sanctification, to bring power. And so if you have a little bit of faith today, you need to have a little bit more faith tomorrow. If you have a little bit of peace right now, you need to have a little bit more peace tomorrow. Because whatever little you have, when you constantly bring it back to God, he is there filling and replenishing your spirit with more every single time. We need a church that says, I may not have a lot right now, but I'm going to have more tomorrow, because I am a trustworthy servant. I am a good servant. I am a faithful servant. My master was faithful to me when he was weak. He was faithful to me when he was depleted. He was faithful to me when he was struggling to walk up the hill to get to the cross. He was faithful to me when he was struggling to breathe. And so the least that I could do is be a faithful servant to him. And so when I'm broke, I'm gonna be faithful. When I'm rich, I'm gonna be faithful. When I'm broken, I'm gonna be faithful. I need you to say that. When I'm sick, I'm gonna be faithful. When I'm healthy, when I'm losing my mind, when I'm in the best state of my life, it doesn't matter if you're in the small. It doesn't matter if you're in the big. It doesn't matter if you're in the blessings or in the valley or wherever you're at. Be faithful. Be faithful, because he is faithful. Well done. Well done. Think about those words that we're going to listen to when we get to Jesus, seeing him face to face. Well done. Good and faith, man. I don't want to miss that opportunity to receive those words of blessing from my Creator. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been so faithful, God. Long to hear those words, because there is more. There is more that God wants for every single one of us. Give him the little that you have. Give him what's in your hand. Give him what you have been hiding. I want you to stand with me. I'm gonna make a call this morning to the altar. And it's gonna be a specific call. I mean, if you want to come up and you want to worship, come up. But I want to have an intentional altar time. If you're here this morning and you have been withholding some things, anything, I don't care what it is. Maybe there's an idea in you. Maybe there's a calling in you. Maybe there's a gifting in you. Maybe there's an offering in you. There's something in you, but you have been saying it's too small. I'm not ready yet. God is saying, give me the little this morning. That's what he's saying. Give me the little. Be faithful in the little, and much more will be given to you. If that's you this morning, I want you to come forward, and I want you to have a moment with the master where you commit to him more than what you've been giving him. Come on, these altars are open. These altars are open. If that's you this morning, don't hesitate. If that's you this morning, come up. Come up. Go ahead and sing.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.